Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Division of Transplantation, where patients' lives are enhanced by a renowned transplant program known for innovation and excellence in kidney, liver, and pancreas transplants. For more information, the number is 1-800-492-5538, or you can go to steinershow.org, click on the University of Maryland Medical System banner, and all the information will be right there. 1-800-492-5538. We are going to talk in this next half hour about a sense of place and art and the power of community to take control of what is theirs. Deb Patterson is with us. I'm not sure how to introduce you, Deb, as an artist, Asian provocateur. No, as an artist, as a how should I introduce you?
I'm an artist, and I'm the head of Art Blocks.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. Casimir Buhak is with us. He is a new resident at Alcantrali Terrace, one of those neighborhoods. Pat Cruz is with us, Education Director of Young Audience and a resident of Reservoir Hill. And Dr. Shawn Jenkins is with us, Healthy Neighborhoods Coordinator, Development Officer for the Greater Mondawmin Coordinating Council, and formerly a professor of reading education at Coppin State University.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, good. Well, welcome all. So let me start, Deb, if you would just kind of explain what you just said, Art Block, and what is it, and how this thing we're about to talk about began and what it is.
Okay, Art Blocks are, we help communities re-envision their public spaces through their own art making and their own ideas and what they want to do with their public spaces. So it came out of my OSI fellowship in 2007 after my work in Pimlico, where I saw that communities, until you engage the communities in creating their public spaces, you won't have sustainability, and it's much more it's an exciting process. So I was trained in placemaking in New York City by Project for Public Spaces, and we did a creative placemaking workshop with Druid Hill Park in collaboration with Friends of Druid Hill Park and the Conservatory and the Mondawmin community and the Alcantrali Terrace Community Association. Mm-hmm. And it was extraordinary. It was an extraordinary event, and that's what we're here to talk to you about.
And so when I first talked to you all, what happened with that? When you came and what happened at that day at the event? What did you see? What was being transformed?
Well, what was really being transformed is really bringing all of the different community members, the different organizations, everyone together, actually on the site of the entrance, on the Gwynns Falls Parkway entrance of Druid Hill Park, to really stand out there and to talk about what we can do to make the community entrance safer for pedestrians, to make it to beautify the area, to bring in some creativity to that place. So, really, we stood out there. It was a beautiful day. We stood out there with notepads and with our placemaking survey to talk about what we can do and just to dream and to think big about what we could do for that area.
And what happened?
We came up with a list of many lists. We all kind of broke up into groups and had different sites to look at the area from different ways. So some people actually stood on the Alcantrali. Some people stood in the park. Some people stood on the median to really talk about what we could do for that space. So we all came back with a list of things, and then we met and compiled it all into one big list, and we come back on the 12th to start the first part of that list.
I think another byproduct,
Pat Cruz.
Thank you, was that it really connected the community to the park. Mm-hmm. And it not only connected the community to the park, but it connected many communities to each other, because
right.
we're all in different parts, different neighborhoods around the park. But going through this process made us feel as one community, and it made us feel as one to the park itself. So the process itself, I think, really helped to build community.
Yeah, we brought people together from all of the 9 neighborhoods surrounding Mondawmin Mall and around Druid Hill Park, bringing in people from the different schools, all the different communities, yeah. neighbors, residents, all together to talk about how we can kind of work together. So it was really a diverse group, young, old. I think maybe our youngest was 4, and our oldest was, I'm not sure, but we had a great range.
So now, but what I think, just for people to put their hands around this, by the way the phones are open, 410-319-8888, you may think of your own community and how this may relate to your own community. You may even live in one of the communities that surround Druid Hill Park, and there are many communities surrounding that park. But what does it mean in essence? I mean, we talked about when you and Eric first told me about this idea was that you gathered by the conservatory, by the park entrance, mm-hmm. and the first thing probably dealing with was the danger of that particular intersection.
Yeah. is very dangerous. I think maybe a week or two prior to us having the placemaking event, we had someone get hit by a car and die on Akron Trolley. I think is it 8 lanes or 9 lanes? So it's really serious. So really, you know, to concrete, we came up with a list of things that we're going to work on. So number one is meeting with DOT, coming together to talk about some things that we can do to make it safe for people. Other than that, we're coming up with cleaning the area. We have abandoned buildings in the area. There things that we can do creatively is with the crosswalks and different ways to do painting the crosswalk designs, making the entrance so that you kind of know that this is the main entrance to the park. When you drive by, you don't really know where the entrance to the park is. So really, we came up with a list. Here's a nice little list of 18 short and long-term things that we're going to that we're going to focus on. Of course, like I said, number one is DOT, but then when we move down to things that we can do as a community to come together to do.
So how does the idea... This is what I want to get understand. So how does the idea of getting a sense of place, an idea of using an artistic expression, I suppose, mm-hmm. would be one of a better term, have to do with changing traffic lights and making a neighborhood more whole and safe? What is that? What's that bridge?
I think a big part of it is...
Casimir.
That... I think the community is inspired by right. that area.
Pull that mic a tad closer to people can hear you.
I think that community, Akron Trolley Terrace, actually Mondawmin and the surrounding mm-hmm. area. I think it's that area itself is inspiring, and the park is one of the most beautiful mm-hmm. places in Baltimore, mm-hmm. and that particular intersection around there, where the botanical gardens are, there's that new sculpture of the arches. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful places in the entire city. So, I mean, I think that there's sort of a living there, you want to make that better.
Right.
You know, you want to reflect that beauty. And the intersection is, I mean, the ways in which it's ugly, being 8 lanes wide, is also, you know, ways in which it's unsafe. You know, they're connected.
And so what does the artwork itself have to do with that?
I think that, you know... Well, and I am a little bit biased working with an arts organization, but the arts have a powerful way of transforming a community. And you can see through other placemaking that's happened in the Baltimore area that it does make an impact on slowing down traffic. And there's something about creating a space that's beautiful and extends out into the community so that you can do nothing but stop and slow mm-hmm. down and pay attention to it. And if we can get people to do that, then we'll create a safer place for and a safer transition from the neighborhood to the park.
Jump in, don't be so quiet. Is that much?
Well, it's proven. I mean, this is happening all over the world, this placemaking effort, and it's absolutely proven that when people do the painted crosswalks, the painted intersections, there was just one done in Hamilton and Lauraville, and they have had no accidents since then. People slow down. Portland, Oregon has become famous for city repair, painted intersections. People slow down to see what it is. And it's a social justice issue. It really is, because if the people in those communities can't cross the park safely, mm-hmm. Pat was saying mothers and their babies can't get across. The lights aren't timed properly, so they can actually get across. They can't enjoy that park, so that it actually becomes people who can drive there, which really isn't fair to those communities surrounding the park. So we really do see it as a social justice issue as much as a community for generating the spirit. It was, Mark, it was so extraordinary. The evaluations, everybody went nuts over how diverse the crowd was, working with people they would not normally work with to create. And they all said to create and to re-envision this dangerous intersection. Mm-hmm. And most people, as you say, don't think of, well, how can you be creative with an intersection? Well, they came up with extraordinary ideas. They came up with sculptures that could move so that you see this movement coming of animals or people or plants as you approach the park, so that also incorporates the park's themes as well. So they came with all kinds of amazing ideas, but color, more color, so it's brighter, it's more beautiful. So aesthetically, you have this, you know, pragmatic thing, you have to get through this intersection, but also why not make it aesthetically beautiful? Why not bring beauty into pragmatism as well?
And it fits in with some other projects that we're doing in the community. We have different artists that live in the community that participated. Lauren Cornish is one who's worked with.
Yes. Incredible artist.
He was a block over.
His father was there.
That's right. Yes, he was there. And so we just had Lauren actually complete 11-foot mosaic sculptures for us in a median just a couple of blocks away. So it kind of brings all of the community together. And it was an exciting project for me to be a part of for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm a parent and a homeowner in the community, so to bring my daughters
which
up.
Which is your neighborhood?
I live in the Parkway community, which is one of the umbrella neighborhoods within our umbrella of Greater Mondawmin. So to be able to bring my daughters to the event and to have them participate and know that we can work with our neighbors to actually create change and positive change. It was good in that way. As a university professor, a formerly teaching teachers, it was great to have a real social justice, you know, project-based learning happening right there in my community. You know, as a healthy neighborhoods coordinator, fits in with our whole goal of what we want. We call it the Mondawmin campus to be kind of a walkable, safe, beautiful place. So that's why we're kind of interested in it.
And I get folks to join us if you want. 410-319-8888. Think of your own neighborhood. Or maybe your neighborhood is already doing this. Think of your own place where you live and what this bringing to life with art and community involvement can do to reclaim the place you live and change it.
That's right.
I mean, as you're talking about this, I mean, I know the neighborhood very well. I grew up near there.
Yeah.
I ran those streets as a kid. So, I mean, I know the neighborhood. The neighborhood has always had an edge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always been a tough working class neighborhood, mm-hmm. no matter what decade I can think about running through the streets. Mm-hmm. But that's there. So how do you think that the idea of, I mean, A, you're talking about demanding a change in how those lights work and how the traffic works to make the neighborhood safe. That's one piece. But when you talk about building sculptures, putting art on the, literally, in
right.
the road.
Public
in the,
art,
on
right.
the street.
On
yeah.
the street. what do you think it does? What does it, A, do to the community? What does it do with and for and to the people who live there?
It empowers the community, mm-hmm. number one. And number two, it changes the idea and the perception of what the Mondawmin area is and can be. And it helps us. Like, we've had wonderful events like the farmers market that started this summer in the park.
In the park.
In the mm-hmm. park. But how, if I live on Arkansas, can I even cross the street without endangering my life to get across mm-hmm. there? If I'm a child or if I'm someone older, I can kind of run across and just take my life. But, you know, the
it
other
facets.
It
takes some people 15 minutes or
sure,
more to
mm-hmm.
get that street.
Yes, absolutely.
We had an elderly woman in the community mm-hmm. who took mm-hmm. her, like, 15, 20 minutes mm-hmm. to
cross
it.
And she lives
right across the street.
Yes.
Because Mondawmin, the Mondawmin community in many ways is a very malign community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of what people think it is,
sure.
its reputation, you know, and the idea of kind of pulling all the neighborhoods together around the park in Mondawmin is a pretty powerful
yeah.
move.
There have been millions of dollars worth of investments taking place in the Mondawmin community. We have had millions of dollars within the renovations of Coppin University with their sports. BCC just purchased a land that they're going to put in performing arts center there on Liberty Heights. We have Parks and People that's moving in. So there are lots of investments. I think there have been a couple of million dollars put in the hub at Mondawmin Mall, all the renovations that Mondawmin Mall has done. They have Target there, you know, all Shoppers, all of the things that they have there. So the investment has been there. And all of the growth and the diversity and the coming together has been there in the community. This is just another way in which we can kind of let everyone know about all the great things that are taking place.
I think it really will make a huge impact. If you think about the best cities to go to, the cities
That's
that
right.
most tourists go to, what makes them great? New York, Paris, it's the art. And
yeah.
there's such – it is a beautiful park, and I think so many people don't realize that's even there. They could even yeah. live so close by and have never been there. When you create art around it, it's going to draw attention to it. It's going to put us on the map
right.
as being a wonderful place to live and a tourist destination to go to.
That's right.
Yeah, and the fact that the art is not – that it was made by the community, that
mm-hmm.
we came together for it. I mean, I think the fact that the community came together to make the art, I think that has a big effect on the safety of the community.
That's right.
There's so many people – I mean, I've just been struck how you can live in a city – you know, just two houses over from someone and not speak to them for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting involved in these community organizations, Friends of Druid Hill Park, you know, the Auchentrolley Community Association, things like Greater Neighborhoods and the
mm-hmm.
Art Blocks, I've noticed that you start to get together, do something physical, to make art, you know, to improve something in a pragmatic, physical way. But the sort of exciting, unexpected thing is that you're building community.
That's right.
And just getting neighbors to talk to each other, mm-hmm. that makes a neighborhood safer.
That's right.
It seems like a little thing, but it's mm-hmm. it's such a big deal.
So tell me, what are the steps coming up? What's going to happen with this place now that you've launched this campaign?
Okay. Well, November 12th, right. from 9 to 12, we're doing planting, cleanup and planting. There's a little island in the center of the intersection. We're going to plant hundreds of bulbs.
Thousands.
Millions. I thought it was millions.
Yeah,
In the median strip, but also there's a little tiny island in the center of the intersection.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We have big plans for that little intersection. So that's the first step. And then the next step is then for the community, it also has to come from, it's so grassroots. And that's another powerful aspect of this is that. How does the community want to move forward? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're looking into funding, grants. There are different grants available.
We had over 60. How many people did we have?
We had almost 50.
50 people to come out on our first time. That the interest is already there. And once we're able to publicize and let everyone know what we're doing, it'll be even more connections. Like I said, we have schools, everyone participating. So
once this happens, I'm curious how that feeds back into what you want to do about controlling that intersection. I mean, it's – and how you do that. That dangerous space.
Controlling.
Well,
you're talking about the people who can be killed there, about the nine lanes of traffic, about the things that aren't synchronized. People can't get across the road, that it's like a gigantic river that divides.
Well, it is like a gigantic river. I said it was like Moses parting the Red Sea.
It should be a river.
That's what
they can get across it easier. But
but it's meeting with DOT. It's meeting with the city. It's then following up the Friends of Druho Park with Rexham Parks. And those are the things that we need to do to then make this happen.
But it's also building the public will to make it happen, too.
Yes.
So we're meeting with the departments that are going to make sure and facilitate that process. But it's also building the community and the public will that shows that this is important, and also connecting more with the park so that the neighborhoods and the park become one entity together.
And I mean, this is a huge undertaking when you think about it. I mean, the steps you're taking to do this.
It didn't feel that way that day.
All you do is because when I think of the space
itself,
of Druid Hill Park, neighborhoods around
it. It's just little steps.
Little steps.
It's little steps.
They started a farmer's market this
spring.
Vendors by the end. It was a very successful farmer's market. By the end, they're doing lots of programs at the park and that are amazing. And we have to get people there safely to participate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they've proven placemaking, it's done all over the world. And they've absolutely proven that the more people you have and the more pedestrian friendly it is, mm-hmm. the safer the area is as well. It cuts down on crime. Bryant Park's a perfect example in New York. When they opened that up and made it safer for people to go there, greater programs came as a result, and crime went away almost immediately. So that's a whole part. It's a whole big picture that we're looking at, really.
It may seem like a big picture, but I mean there's a lot of reason for optimism. I mean, the park has changed so much in just 5 or 6 years.
I mean, it makes me think of the things I've been reading lately about how people have taken over communities around the world, and things I've noticed in Brazil where they've taken over entire communities mm-hmm. and paint the houses in a mm-hmm. myriad of colors, and where there were sewers, people build bridges that people walk over, and it changes just the feel of where you live.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yes.
Like it belongs to you, like you can control it.
That's exactly what we want to do with that. We're planting the flowers. It's our space. It belongs to us. We use it. We love it. And that's part of what the placemaking does.
I think another part of it is that it's going to bring together all these different neighborhoods as well. I'm from the Upper Utah Madison Neighborhood Association. We're on the other side of the park.
Right.
And I think that right now there are all these different separate neighborhood associations. And just having these small, discrete tasks to create together and making art together will help us become a more united community.
That's right.
Because even the park itself, for all these years, has been a really maligned park. I can tell you the number of people I've had used to call on my show to go, well, nobody ever uses the park. I mean, nobody white ever uses the park.
Lots of people use the park.
That's exactly.
There's always somebody in the park.
Yeah.
So it became, what I'm very curious about what DOT's response is to all this.
We're looking into that.
Because they have to, synchronize the lights better.
Yes.
Yep.
Well,
they have to put in a safety walk across the street.
That's right. We're hoping to take them on a walk from one end to the other end, from Arcontrolley, Gwens Falls, across to the park, so they can kind of walk that and see what happens when you try to walk that.
Exactly, because there's no signal to tell you when to walk in the first place. And that is a very scary proposition when you can't even see the traffic lights when they're changing. It's really frightening. And so that's the way to do it. I mean, that's true placemaking, is to get the people out in the space, truly looking at the space, not in a room with designers looking at at it on paper.
How to make the cars go faster.
But yeah, exactly.
How to make it walkable so that we can use the park and use our space.
Because you don't think about that, because we have communities where it is where the automobile rules and the pedestrian is secondary or tertiary. You know, it's not even that important,
because
you think people just zoom through there. We get from Park Circle or from the expressway to where I got to get to.
And you know, it's actually, we were talking about that. Like, it's not right now. We're not a pedestrian friendly city.
No,
it's becoming better, and even bike friendly city. So having it for the bike riders and for the pedestrians will help to increase that kind of community living and green living.
And make it the healthy community. Like I said, we're a healthy neighborhoods community, both of us in Reservoir Hill and Greater Mondawmin. So to make it healthier.
and in New York, they work really closely with DOT, and they've had incredible successes together, collaborating together. It doesn't have to be, because their goal is to move the cars through. How do we do that as quickly as possible? And we understand that, and that's a real concern for everybody. But at the same time, they're not mutually exclusive. They can do it in a way that's also safe. It's proven. You know, there are lots of big, we're not the only big intersection in the world, you know. So they can, how do you cut down? How do you make it maybe traffic circle? You know, they've a lot of success with traffic circles. It's not initially, it's, you know, people resist it initially and they're not familiar with it as much in this country, but they've had a lot of success with that. They've maybe timing the lights differently. Sometimes they do in different cities, they time them all where you can cross diagonally.
And when
and
you
all
said circle, my mind flashes over to if you go up towards the Barnes & Noble in Towson where they put in a traffic circle, and they actually have these intersections where pedestrians have the right of way and cars have to stop to allow pedestrians to cross the street. It'd be a much bigger circle over by Arcancholi Terrace and Druid Hill, but I could see that conceivably working.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Project for Public Spaces came down from New York to do that circle with Towson, with the community in Towson. So they redesigned that entire space and planted the center and did those crosswalks.
So that actually was part of the same design you're talking
about.
Exactly. That's interesting.
Exactly. And they came down last summer and worked with Downtown Partnership to do placemaking downtown. So this is an international movement. And it's very common sense. I mean, there's a lot of common sense to it. It's just very practical. The process itself doesn't take a long time. I mean, I did a brief presentation about what placemaking is. Then, as Siobhan said, we went out into the space, looked at the space, physically looked at the space. It's really being like an artist.
Right.
You don't draw without looking at something, or well, you can, but you know, you really, but you want to. If you're going to draw something, you really want to look at it. And so you're teaching people to look through their own eyes. And that's what's beautiful, because all these great different ideas came out of it, as opposed to if it had been top down, it might have been ideas generated by planners or you know, known ideas.
And that's the exciting piece of it for us residents, to be a part of making the change and being creative and looking at the space differently and designing what we want and having some input, as opposed to having DOT or the city come in and tell us what to do with the space. Mm-hmm. We can then collaborate and say, this is what we want to do with the space. We want you to do for us.
No, I think this is just, it's very exciting. I really want to see how this kind of transpires and changes. I mean, it's the kind of thing that people moving up from the bottom artistically and as a community can actually change the place they live in, inspire other communities to do the same.
Absolutely.
And make this a very different city.
Yes.
And also, this is the true meaning of the creative class. As Richard Florida talks about, the true meaning is that we often leave out that voice. The true creative class is the voice that gets left out. And that there's full of originality, different ideas, you know, coming from a variety of people. And this is truly bringing them into the conversation about what we want our city to look like. Mm-hmm. And that reflects a multitude of people, ethnicities, everything. And it's exciting, and it is artistic and exciting, and it's creative.
Yes, and we learn things about the space that we didn't know before. Going out there, that little traffic island where we're going to plant the flowers, I didn't even know it existed, and I've driven past it a million times.
You don't think about it.
Exactly.
Just a piece of nothing. It sits there and you go around it.
Exactly.
We learned a lot about our neighbors, too.
That's right.
Like so much untapped energy and potential and excitement.
It was, that's right.
So now, when's this day again?
November 12th, Saturday. 9 to 12,
yes.
Saturday. And
come on out
and plant millions of bulbs and clean.
Well,
help us clean.
That's very cool. And I think what we should also do is kind of try to keep tap on this movement and see where it goes and maybe even see what DOT says. And
that sounds great.
Maybe we'll ask them what they're going to say.
Yeah,
and
that would be
great. Great to get them on a show.
Yes, it would. That would be good to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's get them on the air.
Let's do that.
See what they would say.
We'll come back, Mark.
I'm sure you will. This has been great. I want to thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Is there a website people can go to see what's going on, by the way?
Yeah, it's in our Facebook page.
Faceartblocks.org.
Artblocks.org.
Artblocks.
B-L-O-C-K-S.
And the Friends of Druid Hill Park.
And GreaterMondawmin.org.
Okay.
DruidHillPark.org, GreaterMondawmin.org, and the Conservatory also.
Yes.
And we'll put this all up on the SteinerShow.org so they can link to it.
Wonderful.
On November 12th.
Thank you
all so much. Great to have you on the studio.
Thank you, Mark.
So this is a creative move to change a piece of our city and put it into a better place. And now we're going to talk about a political vein, coming back with Ari Berman, who is a contributing writer for Nation magazine, talking about how the austerity class rules Washington, D.C. So stay with us. We'll be right back.